Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Jennifer from the Those Darn Cats podcast, and I listen to Mickey Miles.
This is the Mickey Miles podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 188 of the Mickey Miles podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com. With me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, it is July. Happy post-4th of July, I guess.
Yeah, I'm actually, probably when this airs, I'll be on my way to Disney for a few days for a little vacation. I'm doing Disney solo.
Little R&R, yeah.
My son is going to camp and he didn't want to go to Disney because he goes a lot, so I'm going to head down. So I'm just Michelle of summervacation.com, which I really love. So before we get to our special guest, Mike, we have an announcement to make. And do you want to tell everybody a little bit about Skinny and Sixty just really briefly, and then we will make our announcement?
Sure. So from time to time, Michelle and I thought that maybe we'll have a little contest and try to help everyone, including ourselves, get a little healthier, a little happier. And so back in late April, we started a contest, a promotion called Skinny and 60, in which we challenged everyone to do whatever they could to get themselves healthier and maybe lose a few extra pounds getting ready for the summer. And we began the promotion or contest, if you will, late April, and we finished it on June 30th, or right around June 30th. And the idea was to see how much weight we could all lose, and some of the results were really amazing. We want to congratulate everyone who lost weight, who became healthier, and we also wanted to reward the person who lost the highest percentage of body weight. And we are here today to do a couple of things on this show, and one is to announce the winner, and that person will be coming to the Mickey Miles podcast to join Michelle and I on a show and talk about the success and how that success was reached. So, Michelle, why don't you talk about the
sure, winners. And I wanted to say, too, that we haven't introduced her yet, but our guest today was kind enough. We didn't even ask her to do this, but she jumped in and gave people several weeks a challenge to help them to achieve their goals. So we'll go from third place on. A lot of people wrote in with the percentage of body weight that they lost. And Stephanie Grace was number 3. And Sarah Graff was number 2. But the person who lost 9.82% of his body weight was our buddy Joe Weeks. So congratulations, Joe, and to everybody. I mean, people really, not only did they chime in with tips and, you know, their weight loss every week, but also very supportive group. So I think I got a lot of emails from people just, you know, who lost 3 pounds, 5 pounds, who just really enjoyed the contest. So we'll invite Joe onto the show, and yeah, so maybe we'll do something like this soon. We do have another contest coming up, but it's not weight loss related. So are we ready to introduce our guest who has almost, I think we might be tied for a number of letters we have after our names.
Well, you know, this is an episode where it's a very health conscious episode, and when you think of health, you think of running and exercise, and you think of nutrition. And when I look up nutrition on Wikipedia or in the dictionary, I see this person's photo, and so it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show Tara Guidis, who is she has more letters after her name than I don't know, Mickey Mouse, I guess. she is the she is, you can see her biweekly on a national televised morning show called The Daily Buzz. She is the team nutritionist for the NBA's Orlando Magic basketball team. She has a website that I encourage everybody to go out and make that a daily visit, and it's dietdiva.net. But most of all, she is the official nutritionist of Run Disney, and we welcome her on the show to answer some listener questions. Tara, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Is your show The Daily Buzz or Emotional Mojo?
Well, I'm on both. The Daily Buzz
usually
once or twice a month, and then the Emotional Mojo is the show that I'm on daily. It's a daily 1 hour.
Okay.
So you can go to emotionalmojo.com or like it on Facebook, and you'll see lots of clips and inspirational stuff.
That's great. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The list keeps getting longer.
It's got a very long CV. So we put out, we asked Tara to come back on periodically because people have lots of nutrition questions that we can't answer, nor are we qualified to answer. And she always says yes. She's always so gracious to say yes. So we put out there just a comment on our Facebook page. Does anybody have any questions? And we got many, many. So should we jump right in, Tara?
Absolutely.
All right. The first one's from Terry Mann in Texas. And he says, I screwed up last year eating so many carbs a few months before the marathon that I couldn't add enough protein and wound up anemic. I wonder if I'm the only person who's done that. Now I'm afraid of trying Dopey. So it's the marathon again in 2015. I guess I don't even understand this question, so I thought I'd ask it. Maybe you would understand.
All right, so he said that he cut back. Read the first part again.
I screwed up last year eating so many carbs a few months before the marathon that I couldn't add enough protein.
Okay, gotcha.
He wound up
eating too little protein because he was eating too many carbs because he knows that runners need carbs.
Got it. Okay.
That's what it sounds
like.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, and I know that there's a question that's going to be coming about the low-carb diets as well, because I saw on the Facebook page some of the questions that came in as well. So, but I can address this one now, and we can address that one separately, too. So, you know, the thing is that your body's preferred source of energy is carbohydrate, and so we definitely want to have carbohydrates. However, just as a runner, that doesn't mean you should be eating only or, you know, almost all carbohydrates. Definitely fat has a role in our diet and on our bodies, and protein definitely has a role. And so if you're not eating enough protein, then you can potentially become injured, and that's really, protein is the amino acids that help to build and repair muscles. And then, of course, sleep is going to be important too, because that's when you build and repair, that's when you repair muscles. So the iron specifically is what contributes to anemia, as well as folate and vitamin B12. So I don't know what kind of anemia he had, if it was iron deficiency anemia, or it could have been a deficiency of folate or B12. This is unusual in men. We don't see men coming down with anemia very often. It's much more common in women, especially women that are pre-menopausal, let's just say nicely. So it is very unusual, but we know that iron needs do go up in runners because we actually have a little bit higher need of runner of iron because of the heel strike and the high impact nature of running. It actually causes our body to need a little bit more iron because of the repair that takes. So I would say that just be smarter this year as you're training. I don't think it's going to happen again, but what I would do is make sure that you're checking your iron levels. So I would go to the doctor every 3 to 6 months to get those checked. And then also make sure that you're eating at least 6 to 8 ounces of protein, and iron-rich protein. So that's going to be red meat is going to be the highest amount of iron. And that doesn't mean, you can get very, very lean beef. Go to beefitswhatsfordinner.com and you'll see the 29 cuts of lean beef that are actually more lean than chicken thigh without the skin. So there are many ways. Liver is going to be the highest amount of iron, but you know, most people don't really love liver. So I think just you've already identified probably why it happened. Now, of course, there's lots of different medical conditions that can cause iron that can cause anemia in men. So I'm assuming that you've ruled out any of those medical conditions. And if you haven't, then I would definitely speak with your doctor about that as well. So this goes for women too, who tend to be more on the anemic side, is just make sure that you're getting those iron-rich foods. And if you're a vegetarian, then you need to take a supplement of iron and or make sure that you're getting your green leafies and beans and other good sources of vegetarian iron.
Tara, I love having you on the show. That's so interesting. I get my science nerd on every time you come. The way I check my blood is I give blood a lot.
Right, right.
And my iron, I'm sorry, I check my iron, and they tell me what my iron level is, and I can tell if it's low or not. But that was really interesting. Mike,
I was going to ask about the vegetarian, and then you chimed in, and I was thinking beans and leafy green vegetables. But here's a question. I'm not sure if you can answer this, but I just thought I'd throw it out. Would there be any signs that would tell me on a daily basis that I'm low in iron? Would it be fatigue? Would it be anything that would show up?
Yeah, it's mostly fatigue that's going to be the signs of iron deficiency. So that's, and you know, we all feel tired here and there, but it really is a pronounced fatigue where you're like, you know what, something's wrong. Like I'm not just tired, and I don't feel better once I do catch up on sleep or take a couple rest days or whatever. It's like more of a persistent tired. That's when you want to go to the doctor. And you know, fatigue is usually the easiest diagnosis of fatigue. Could be a thyroid condition, or it could be anemia. Those are probably the two most common reasons of fatigue, to the point where you're like, yeah, there's something wrong.
Okay. Well, the next question is appropriate for this time of year, and it's one that I'm sure you hear quite a bit, and it's from Christy Jackson Green, and she says, what is the best way to hydrate during the week to prepare for a hot, humid, long run?
Yeah, well, definitely just keep it up all week, because you actually can, you know, we always tell people before a marathon too, you know, even a couple of days before that marathon, even though, yeah, you feel like you're just peeing it right out, it's helping to create those hydration stores. So during the summertime, you definitely want to be aware of just drinking more and more, and start your day with, you know, drinking an 8 to 12 ounce glass of water right away when you get up. And I've said this before, but it never fails. The best way to know whether you're properly hydrated is to look at the color of your urine. So if it is barely yellow, then that means you're properly hydrated, no matter how much you're drinking. If it's barely yellow, because your body will tell you when you're dehydrated with a concentrated urine. And concentrated urine versus supplement pee, as I call it, is the color and the smell. So when it's concentrated and it kind of has a smell to it, and you didn't eat asparagus, that means that
I told you, Mike. Yeah. I told you that last
that
week.
Means yeah. That means that you're dehydrated. So when it kind of stinks a little bit, it's dehydrated. If it's bright yellow, that means that it could be just your supplements, the B vitamins, right, the vitamin C, you know, coming out in your pee. And that's fine as long as it still is like kind of a clear yellow, if you know what I mean. But the cloudy yellow, or the like more of a mustard yellow, is going to be dehydration. So yeah. You know, I would just recommend just being conscious, as it seems like you already are, to drink a little bit more, drink more during, instead of just stopping every 2 miles and drinking, you know, 4 ounces, drink more of the 6 to 8 ounces, or stop every mile while you're running, or, you know, and also you can increase your intake of foods that are high in fluid. About 20% of our fluid actually comes from food. So that can be, you know, the fruits. I mean, watermelon's great at this time of year, fruits and vegetables, you know, soups and oatmeal, all that kind of stuff. Celery, yeah, any fruits and vegetables are going to be high.
Welcome to episode 1 of the All About Your Pee Color podcast. So what about things like Gatorade? Should you be having stuff like that during the week, or is water just the best? It's all about the pee color.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what Gatorade does is it gives you electrolytes, and it also gives you sugar. So if you're just sitting at your desk working, no, you don't need Gatorade. Water, water, water. But if you're sweating and you're going for, you know, more than 45 minutes of sustained aerobic exercise, then absolutely, then the Gatorade is going to have its place.
Thank you. Okay, the next one is from Rebecca Otten, and she says, I have kidney disease and I have to limit my proteins. Do you have any great tasting low protein recipes that would be filling? And I know you probably can't give the recipes out here, but maybe point her towards places where she could get these.
Yeah, well, I have a cookbook that just came out in January called Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies, and there's lots of recipes in there, and what's great about it, there's 100 recipes, and what's great about it is that the nutrition breakdown is after each one of those, so you can look at the protein content. And yes, you definitely need to be controlling your protein with kidney disease, but that doesn't mean no protein, of course. So I would definitely work with, hopefully you have a registered dietitian that you're working with on a regular basis. If not, ask at your kidney center or ask your doctor to have an individual consultation with a registered dietitian in your area. And if you don't have someone, then give me a call, visit my website, shoot me an email, and we can do a Skype or a phone in consultation as well. And because that's a little bit specialized and very unusual than, of course, most of the listeners out there. But you just have to, you know, be aware of looking for recipes that have the nutrition breakdown on it and then fitting that within your daily protein requirements for the day.
We have another question regarding electrolytes. It's a different kind of a question, Tara. It's from Kelly Campbell, and she says, in preloading electrolytes for a race, can you overdo it? She says, I know what worked for the marathon in January, but I wonder if I should increase the preload for the Disney Dumbo Dare, Double Dare in August, and also long training in summer. So she wants to know if there's a danger of overdoing it in preloading electrolytes.
You know, that's a very good question, and I have never heard of a danger with it because they are water-soluble nutrients. And the thing is that you are not going to, you're going to be losing a lot more, like especially for Dumbo because it's in the summertime and the tail end of the summertime. And also during training during the summer, you're going to be sweating a lot more. Now, that being said, don't think, oh, I'm just going to front load it all, and during the race, I'm not going to need any electrolytes, because, of course, you're going to be sweating during the race. So you still want to get the electrolytes during the race, of course, coming from the sports drinks and or other things that you might be bringing with you. You might have an electrolyte tab that you put into something or whatever. I would say don't worry about it. I mean, you can't eat too many bananas. You know, you can't. Uh-huh. I mean, the only way that you could overdo is with a supplement of potassium or with too much, you know, sodium. I mean, electrolytes are basically sodium, magnesium, potassium, calcium. So you could go overdo with doing a supplement of too many of those things,
right,
or like too many tabs. And I don't really have numbers in my mind, but I would say a couple of tabs, you know, the day or two before and the morning of is fine. But I wouldn't like do an entire package or take a mega dose of potassium and, of course, sodium either. Most people get plenty of sodium in their diet.
That's true. Okay, this one is from Sue Dudkowski, and she wants to know, what are some super portable, low-cal, healthy snacks that can be kept in a backpack, car, swim bag for those days that when you get super crazy and you still need something to hold you over without grabbing junk?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, I like that question.
So I am a big snacker. And so I'm, you know, I've said before, I'm the eat light, eat often kind of girl. And so my meals are fairly small, so I make sure that I have my snacks in between. And it is a challenge when you don't have a refrigerator. You know, my go-tos a lot of time are Greek yogurt and some things that might require refrigeration. But definitely fruit is going to be an easy one. A banana is portable and has its own peel on it, and so that's protection. You know, apples, obviously. So there's a lot of fruit that you could do. I'm a huge fan of energy bars, and there's lots of different bars out there. My latest obsession is Good Greens, and they just started carrying them at Target, which I'm very excited about. But you can order them online at goodgreens.com. They're so yummy. But those do have a little bit of a coating on it, so I wouldn't leave it in your car. If you want to leave something in your car, then you're looking at a Kind bar without the coating or something like that. The other thing that I love to carry is canned tuna. And that's an easy one. And you can buy the little cans or the pouches, or you can even buy the little to-go packs that have the crackers with it. So you can bring some, you know, whole grain crackers, some Melba toast, whatever, and then have the canned tuna there and make a little tuna on crackers. That's an easy one. Of course, nuts. I mean, pistachios, almonds, walnuts, pecans. Those are my four favorite of all of the nuts. Peanuts are great too, but from a nutritional perspective, I like the pistachio, almonds, pecans, and walnuts. So those are easy. And then along with that, you can make your own little trail mix and do some dried fruit in there. That's great potassium. So you can do some apricots, some raisins, you know, whatever kind of dried fruit that you want to. I always do the ones without added sugar though, so that leaves the poor dried cranberries out of the mix, but I like raisins instead. And let's see, I mean, you can throw some baby carrots in there too. You can always carry, you know, a half a bagel or a muffin or something like that as well. Granola bars, you know, that kind of stuff. Does anyone have any other, do you guys have any other suggestions?
I like Lara bars and
yeah, I like
the Kind bars. What else do I use?
The Kashi, there was a Kashi bar.
Yeah, there's a Kashi
bar. Yeah, Kashi bars are always really good. Those are good in fiber and protein as well. I'm always looking for the ones that have a low glycemic index. So that means they have to have either fiber or protein. So yeah, Kind is one of my absolute favorites too.
Sometimes the 100 calorie nut, little nut containers, so that you know you're not overdoing it with the nuts are good to have. I was sitting here chuckling because my mom was a nurse, and growing up all my friends had like Hostess cupcakes in their lunch things, and I always had an apple and carrots, and I was just thinking that your kids must have the best lunch boxes. I mean, it sounds a lot more than an apple and carrots. They must have, I'd love to open it up and see what you pack along for them.
And
sometimes it comes back to me.
The next question sort of continues with this theme. It's from Brittany Bear Brown, and Brittany says, "Is a cookie a day good for you?" She says, "Also, with regards to marathon training, what should I start incorporating into my runs? All I've ever used is gel." And water, but is that enough for 5.5 hours or however long it takes me?
Okay, so first question is about the cookie, and I know that you guys, from now being on your Facebook quite a bit, have a cookie, slight cookie obsession.
I try not to say anything because I know you're on there.
Slight.
So here's the deal. You can just substitute chocolate for me. I'm not a cookie fanatic, but I'm a chocolate fanatic, and not a day goes by that I don't have chocolate in some way, shape, or form. So here's the deal, is that we all run because, or if you don't run because, it's a nice side effect that you can eat more. And you can include some of these things that you may not be able to include because you're burning off some of the calories. So whether it's a cookie or a French fry or, you know, whatever, ice cream, whatever it is that's your thing, yes, you can have it every day as long as you're balancing that and budgeting it in and figuring out how can I fit it in and one cookie doesn't turn into 12 cookies. So that's my thing about the cookies is that, yeah, absolutely. We can all enjoy everything, but it's portion and frequency that it comes down to. And if you can't control your portion, then I would go away from it for a while at least. And it's amazing. The first couple of days are so hard when you cut out something. But after a while, you're like, you know what? I don't even really miss it that much anymore. And you might be able to come back to it and control your portion a little bit once you've been off of it for a while. That's happened with me with chocolate, where I've overdone it with chocolate. Yes, I'm not perfect. And I've had to like step back for a while and go, okay, chocolate is starting to control me instead of me controlling it. And so I'm going to have to go off it for a little while so that I can get control of this. And then when I come back to it, I'll, you know, have more control. Or maybe not. If I don't have control, then I just have to, you know, out of sight, out of mind, like just know nothing, because one piece is a trigger for 12 pieces. So,
what a great idea.
You have to.
I was going to say, you have to go to chocolate rehab.
exactly.
that's a really great idea. Just say no, just, you know, for a few days to kind of control it. I like it.
Yeah. Well, and that's with anything that you're having a problem with controlling, because, you know, it becomes an obsession and one leads to too many. All right. So the second part of your question, Brittany, is about the what should I be eating/drinking during a 5.5 hour run? You know, after a while, gel plus water not only gets like hard to carry that much gel and water, but it just becomes boring. So, and the gels aren't as high in sodium as I like too. So I'd rather you mix it up a little bit and do a couple different things so that you're not just doing gel plus water. So the short answer is yes, gel plus water could hold you if you do enough of them often enough for the entire 5-hour run. But if you want a little bit of variety and a little bit of different breakdown of nutrients and glucose amount, then I would do some sports drinks, some gel, some, you know, blocks, whatever. So whatever you like that, you know, a lot of times I'll carry one gel and one of like the little chews of various kinds. Lately I've been doing the honey stingers, but whatever, you know, you got to find whatever you like the taste of, just so that I'm not doing like all gel. And then I'll also stop for Gatorade. I run with the group here in Orlando that puts the Gatorade out for you every 2 miles. So we're very spoiled that it's there for us. So, you know, that's what I would say, is that anything can, as long as you do it often enough and in the right amount, sustain you for that 5-hour run. It's just figuring out what amount you need for your body weight and for your pace, and then go from there. And that's what training's for, you know, so that you know then what to do during a race.
I'll tell you, by the time I was at the end of the Boston Marathon, people were handing me things. I was like, whatever, I'll take licorice, I'll take orange slices. Just, I don't want any more goo.
Oh, man, that was so good on that course.
Well, I just bought the salted watermelon one. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to try it tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. Tom Kreider wants to know your thoughts on training as a low-carb, fat-adapted athlete. It seems to be working out well for him. He wants to know your thoughts.
Yeah, so I knew this question was coming. I saw that one on there. So, you know, I'm all for whatever works for you. And even if it's placebo effect, then, you know, have at it. So if it's working for you, Tom, then stay with it. However, you knew there was going to be a but, right? But it is not something, and I don't know exactly what he's doing, you know, how low carb, you know, fat, whatever. But in general, you know, this is kind of the opposite of the question we had, the first question we had in this episode about eating too much carbs and not enough protein, so then he became anemic. So this is not eating enough carbs and then, you know, loading up on fat and protein for getting energy. So, you know, I think, as I said earlier, carbohydrates are your body's preferred source of energy. And if you aren't eating enough carbohydrates, then your body will break down protein for energy, and then you don't have those precious amino acids left to build and repair, and then you're leaving yourself at risk of injury. So I'm not a huge fan of going too low carb. The minimum of carbs that I would say any runner should have in a day is about 175. The minimum recommended for all adults is 130. So as a runner, obviously you're burning more calories and you're more active. So I'm going to up that to 175. That's grams per day. And again, it really depends on man, woman, you know, if you're, you know, how many miles you're doing, all that kind of stuff. But no, I'm not a huge fan of the low carb, as you can imagine. I do think that most people eat way too many carbohydrates, and it's a great way to cut calories and to cut fat if you are eating too many carbohydrates, but cutting back and cutting out are drastically different.
Right. That's so right. We're going to go with our last question for this episode, Tara, and I think it's a good one to end on because we've sort of been all around this, and I think it's good to finish off with this. And it's from Jennifer Taylor. And again, it deals with the hydration issue, but what she wants to know is what she's supposed to use. Should she be using water or a Gatorade type drink before, during, and after the run? So we're looking at, okay, what kind of hydration regimen should we be looking at before the race, during the race, and post-race?
Okay, great question. And this is really the most fundamental thing that you need to know as a long distance runner, whether you're doing half marathons or marathons. So before the race, you don't necessarily need Gatorade as long as you had something to eat and drink, and preferably something with some electrolytes of sodium and potassium. So if you can have you know, something, have a banana that has some potassium in it, have a bagel and maybe a little bit of peanut butter on that bagel. Now you're getting some sodium in there too, plus some protein, plus some carbs. You drink some water. Great. You don't have to have it before. If you can't, like on a daily run, you know, like marathon day, you've got time to digest a little bit before. So there's no excuse not to eat something before a marathon or half marathon. But during a training run, I understand, you know, you're getting up and 15 minutes later, you're on the road. So some people can't stomach anything they could drink something. And so in that case, I recommend having the sports drink before you go out and run, because at least it's some sugar in your system before you run, because you absolutely never want to run with no glucose coming in before. So you want to have something to eat or drink that has sugar in it or carbs in it before you run. During, absolutely. Sports drinks, regular strength, full strength, not the G2s, not the Powerade Zero, not the, you know, watered down. I pour half my, you know, water into my Gatorade. No, you have to have the regular strength sports drinks, because they are very specially designed to give you the right amount of calories, sugar, sodium, potassium, all of those electrolytes to help you while you are sweating and burning. So the recommendation is 4 to 8 ounces every 15 to 20 minutes during a long run. So that equates to about every 2 miles for most people, depending on your pace. Okay. After, you definitely want to get sugar, AKA carbohydrates, within 30 minutes finishing a race. So after, you absolutely could do more sports drink, or you could do a recovery drink. You could do a smoothie. You could do the chocolate milk. You could do anything that's going to give you some more hydration, also is going to give you carbs. And then within 2 hours, you want to get the protein. You can have the protein within 2 hours, within 30 minutes as well, but make sure that it's not just a protein shake with like 2 grams of carbs. Okay. You want to make sure that you have carbs, because your glycogen is the energy stores in your muscle that got depleted, and so you want to replete those glycogen stores as much as possible, so then the protein can come in and help build and repair. So that's it in a nutshell. Water is good anytime, before, during, after, but just don't do only water during, if you're doing more than 45 to 60 minutes of a run.
Well, one thing for sure, you're preaching to the choir, because when Michelle and I go out for a 90 or a 2 hour run, we make sure that we are close to a store that has chocolate milk, so we stop off for chocolate milk, you know.
To be continued.
Yeah, to be continued.
And how soon after a race can you drink alcohol?
I mean,
well, a beer?
Yeah,
I mean, like grapefruit beer?
Yeah. Yeah, you can have a beer. That's fine. I just would make sure that you also have water. And actually, beer, of all things, is going to hydrate you. Yeah, it has some alcohol in it, especially if it's a light beer. Then that means it has a little bit fewer percentage of alcohol. And especially the really light ones, like the Michelob Ultras and all that, they're more water than they are alcohol. So those are fine.
Thank you.
So, Tara, thank you for answering these questions. We have a whole bunch more, and we would love to invite you on the next show to continue.
Absolutely.
She is Tara Guidis. She is the official nutritionist of Run Disney. She is also the author of the Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies. We encourage you to check that out and also visit her at dietdiva.net. And for Tara Guidis, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at Mickey Miles Podcast.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.